This message you're about to listen to was recorded live at the Redeemed Christian Church of God, the Throne Room Parish, Transcorp Hilton, Abuja. Be blessed as you listen.
Today I'll be talking very briefly on the topic faithfulness. Please help me tell three people, faithfulness. Faithfulness. And I want us to know the word of God coming to us as individuals. We take cognizance of the word of God coming to us collectively. Us. Thank you. Word of God coming to us collectively as a community of believers. Brianka. Praise the name of the Lord. The word this year for us, for this great commission, is that this year is a year of a new era. So God will be doing new things. Amen. Isaiah 43 from verse 18 to 19. Praise the name of the Lord. So it says, Isaiah 43 from verse 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, and it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I will do the impossible. I will make rivers in the desert and make a way in the wilderness. It says, behold, I will do a new thing. This is God speaking. I will do a new thing. This is not the word of a man. This is not the word of the pastor. This is the word of God saying he will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. It says, now it shall spring forth. One of the things that you are going to see this year is that this year you will see and experience many surprises. And those surprises will be in your favor.
Amen.
That amen sounds weak.
Amen.
That amen sounds unbelieving.
Amen.
Remember that this is not the word of your pastor. This is not the word of a man. It is not the word of a man. He goes again, the book of Revelation chapter 2, 21 verse 5. It says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Faithful is he that has called us. He is faithful that has promised. This is what the word of God says. God is faithful and just. to cause his word to come to pass. For God is not a man. No, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it? Will he not do it? Has he spoken it? Will he not make it come to pass? The scripture says again, for the strength of Israel does not lie nor repent, for he is not a man. God is not a man. His words cannot fall to the ground. That is why it's so important that you become sensitive to what God is saying over your life. Prophecies are important. In fact, the New Testament says, despise not prophesying. Don't look down on it. Don't discount it. Do not demean it. Don't water it down. If you water it down, then your future might be in danger. Why? Prophecies are meant to go before you, and they form the structure in the future, the superstructure of your life and destiny, that every other thing will rest on. The Bible says, by faith, we believe that the walls were framed by the word of God, that the things that we see were not made of the things that do appear. By faith, we believe that the earth or the world were framed. It forms the framework upon which your entire life and destiny rests. And that is why God does not do anything without first of all saying it. Check it in the scriptures. Before God does anything, before his plans come to pass, he allows his spirit to come upon the prophets, and then they prophesy, thus says the Lord. Prophecy simply means, thus says the Lord. And if God has spoken it, I tell you, the job is 99.99999% done. Because it takes God to say it. And God is not a man. He says that his word will not come out of his mouth and return to him void, without accomplishing that which it was sent for. For it must prosper therein in which it was sent. This is the God we're talking about. His word can never fall to the ground. Paul told Timothy, said, Timothy, this charge I declare unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee. According to the prophecies which went before on thee. God has gone before you this year to make every crooked way straight, to make every rough path smooth, to remove every mountain, and to fill every valley. And what is the word that he has spoken concerning you? He says, this is a year of a new era. And I see you, I see us migrating into the place where God has ordained for us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. No matter what comes, that thing is standing sure. It must come to pass. Amen. That was what happened in the life of Jesus. Many years, God spoke through Isaiah, a son, shall be given, a child shall be born. The government shall be upon his shoulder. He will be called the Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, and all that. And it says, of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. A virgin shall conceive. A virgin shall conceive. A virgin shall conceive. The world had gone before several thousands of years, even before Christ came. That is why the devil couldn't do it. It's impossible. Why? Because that word must come to pass. I pray in the precious name of Jesus that in 2014, you will experience new things. Oh, that amen sounds paralyzed. You will experience new things, people. I say you will experience new things. You are entering to your next level. How many of us believe the word of God? If you believe it, you will not just be sitting down there. You will jump up and shout a big hallelujah and say, I believe. Hallelujah. The word of God is settled in heaven forever. His word are yea and amen. Yes. And settled and sealed. But do you know something? There are ways in which you cooperate with the prophecies of God that will make it come to pass in your life. There are demands that you have to meet for these prophecies to come to pass in your life. Demands for these blessings for you to be released into your prophetic destiny. What you are speaking, sharing with you, in a nutshell, is about your prophetic destiny. Prophetic means spoken about. He told Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew you. Before you came out from the womb, I have ordained you and consecrated you a prophet to the nation. Before I formed you, I knew you. Before you came out from the belly, I have ordained and consecrated you to be a prophet to the nations. It speaks of foreknowledge. It speaks of predestination. These two elements are the one that make up your prophetic destiny. Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? It says, to whom he foreknew, this he also predestined. To whom he predestined, this he also called. To whom he called, this he also justified. To whom he justified, this he also glorified. What more shall we say? If God be for us, who can be against you? Why? Because there is foreknowledge and predestination. Listen very carefully. This year, you are predestined to be great. Please, people here, they don't understand what God is saying. I said this year, you are predestined to be great. If you believe what God is saying, you will shout a big amen. Say you are predestined to be great. This year, you are predestined. I declare in the precious name of Jesus, new experiences in him, new anointings, in the precious name of Jesus, new finances, in the precious name of Jesus, new expansions, in the name of Jesus, new mobilization to new levels, in the precious name of Jesus. Yeah, I'm so excited because God has spoken. Put your hands together. If you want to put your hands together and just give him praise, you might be seated briefly. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 But there is a demand that you have to satisfy. in making sure that these things come to pass. One of the demands is prayer. The other one we are discussing as we go along, life of sanctification. But I want to mention just one demand today. For example, you know, our God is not an irresponsible God. For example, Jesus Christ came and died for all. But are all saved? Huh? Why are not all saved? To as many as received him, to them God gave the right to become the sons of God, even as many as believed in his name. So you need to receive him into your life for you to be saved, even though he died for all. Do you understand what God is saying this morning? In him we are complete, but we still have to pray. Blessed be God, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, according as he has chosen us in him, that we should be. Somebody say, God has blessed us already. No need to pray. Even Apostle Paul saying, pray for us. Jesus Christ said, ask and it shall be given. He said, you have not because you ask not. So there is an outer will. There is also an inner will. A will running within the will. Thank you. So it demands that every child of God must keep even those pillars necessary for him to enter into the dimension that God has purposed. Somebody listen to me this morning. Say, somebody listen to me this morning. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is a demand that you have to satisfy for this thing to come to pass, because 99.9999% of the job is done. And I pray that God will open our eyes this morning and cause us to do whatsoever it takes for us to enter into where God has ordained for us. Say faithfully, somebody. Let's open our Bibles very quickly. Number one thing I want you to know is that God is counting on your faithfulness to determine your next level. Matthew chapter 25 from verse 20. I read, and this is an account of a Lord that gave talents to three servants. To one he gave five. Another one he gave two. Another one he gave one. And then he came. And then he now came back to give account. Listen to this. He says, and so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. Then his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Have you seen that? He says, well done, that good and faithful servant. It is not enough for you to be good. It's not enough. It's not enough for you to be good. He says, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over five, have rule over many cities. He took him and promoted him. Why? Not only because he's good, but because of his faithfulness. One of the things that God requires from you, so that you are not surchanged, so that you are not denied, so that the blessings of this year will not be circumvented over your life, is faithfulness. Faithfulness. What does it mean to be faithful? To be faithful means to be strict or thorough in the performance of a duty. For example, you have a faithful worker. Say, this man is a faithful worker. It means the man is thorough, or the woman is thorough, that she's strict in the performance of her duty. To be faithful means also to be true to one's word, to one's promise and vows. It means to be steady in allegiance or affection, to be loyal, to be constant, to be reliable and trusted. That is why you say, this my friend is a faithful friend. A faithful friend will not leave you when things are good. A faithful friend will not leave you when things are bad. It does not matter whether you are promoted or whether you become a governor or a president or a senator. As long as your friend is faithful to you, once you call him, you may even be a messenger. As soon as he sees your call coming in, he picks it up. That is a faithful friend. In plenty, in lack, in prosperity, in austerity, he remains constant. You can rely on him. He remains steady. A faithful friend is a covenant friend. Always the same in and out of season. That is what it means to be faithful. And this morning, I will be discussing with us the three tests of faithfulness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see us going places. Hallelujah. Listen very carefully. When you engage the nuggets of truth, if God says for this, there are four pillars of truth needed to give you all it takes, or to give you, to deliver into your hand all it has for you, then if you do two, you might not strike it. For example, when you go to, you know, this pool, this machine, what's it called again? Casino. Sometimes you see, when it's 5, 5, 5, 5, and then you see the money start rushing in. How many of us understand what I'm saying? The same way too. There are many pillars of truth. Thank God we don't have gamblers here. But I'm sure you watch your TV. I'm sure some of us passed through this place. Some of us were in, started this church in the casino. Throne room was started in the casino. We were in the clubhouse, and sometimes we'll have to use the casino when the clubhouse is so. I'm sure most of you see it there. You see old people, Agbayas. So big people. What is this man sitting down doing? Crack, crack, crack. When every pillar is met, when the demands are met, the machine has no choice than to bring out all it has. The same way too with the word of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, somebody shout a bigger hallelujah. Somebody shout a louder hallelujah. Number one. Faithfulness is tested in three levels. Number one. Faithfulness in that which is little. Open up your Bibles with me to the book of Luke chapter 16 verse 10. The Bible says, He that is faithful in that which is least is also faithful. Is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Listen, your promotion this year and also years to come depends on your faithfulness in the little things. The little things. Some of us consider little as belittling. That is not how God sees it. Check through the scriptures. And even in our contemporary times, and you begin to see how God works. He said he will give the children of Israel the promised land, that they will get it little by little. Small here, small there. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. How do you consider that little assignment that God has given unto you? Are you happy about it? I said in the morning, for example, if I should call workers or call the ministers, God forbid. I said today, well, we'll do it. I thank God for the kind of ministers we have here. Everyone is humble to the call. I said today, you will be the one parking the car outside. How will you take it? Will you say that this work is too demeaning for me? Pastor has belittled me by giving me this small assignment. Listen, if you are not faithful in the little that God has placed in your hands, you can never be faithful in the much when it comes. God will first of all see your faithfulness in that little that he has placed into your hands. People are here with little businesses. Small businesses. But instead of being faithful in that little one, you are looking around. Why is my own not like that brother? There is a blessing in smallness. There is a blessing in the little. In the little. Is it not the small, small drops of water that makes the ocean? One of the things that God requires of you, do not disdain the little assignment that he has given to you. One man of God, he wanted to invite him somewhere. And the people have been praying, communing with God, and say, Lord, use this man to be a blessing to us. We're praying for his family, praying for his ministry. These are just very humble people. By the time he saw the letter, he said, ah, this might be it. Then he called. Please, in your church, how many people are there? So, what is the size of the church? When they told him, he was expecting 2,000, 3,000, 5,000. They said 50. Say, I'm sorry, I'm not. Are you faithful? Are you faithful? There is this blessing of starting small. Most of the big organizations you see today started small. Coke was a family drink. And they decided to package. I was reading about Southern Fried, no, Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC. It started in a man's house, in a garage. Even in ministry, many people want to be like Paddy Boy today, but it started small. The first convention of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, do you know how many people attended? Everywhere. About 1,200 people. Many years ago. There is a blessing in little. There is a blessing in being faithful to the small that he has given unto you. This man was faithful, and then the church started expanding. Right now, it's growing without control. The fastest growing church upon the surface of the earth, because one man was faithful. Listen, many people want to grow up. They want to jump up. As I say, if you jump up, you come down. But if you grow up, you stay up. It's so important for you to grow by the little. There is an analogy that most of us are familiar with. Either with your son, your daughters, or your brother. Even growth takes a little. When you have your children growing with you, you never notice that they are growing. But they are growing a little. Every day a little. Every day a little. In fact, you notice it more. Maybe when they travel, after 6 months, he comes back and says, "Hey, you have grown taller." How many of us understand that? Because it's a little that makes you grow. Listen, the first man, Adam, came as an adult. He failed woefully. The second Adam came as a baby, and he grew in stature. He grew in wisdom and in favor with God and man, and he succeeded. There is a blessing in being faithful to the little that God has put in your hands. Hallelujah. 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 Open up a Bible to the book of Samuel, chapter 17, verse 28. Of David. David was a very powerful king. The Bible referred to him every time as the Lamb of Israel. He said his board, his rod will board. It talks about him. In fact, David somehow was a type of Christ in the Old Testament. David the beloved, a king that is still respected till today in Israel, King David. What was it that defined his life? What was it that God saw in him that he took a ship boy and made him a captain over his people Israel? God's template has never changed. God's template is not changing, and it will never change. God is not a respecter of persons. Our God is a respecter of principles. Open up our Bibles. 1 Samuel 17, verse 28. It says, "And Eliab, his eldest son, brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?" So David was not a shepherd after many sheep. He was a few sheep, but it was his father's. He was faithful. The bear came. He fought against the bear. The lion came. He said he held the lion by the beard and smote the lion. He was faithful to his assignment. When it was time for God to raise up a king and anoint someone, he sent Samuel. He said, take the horn of oil and go to the house of Jesse and anoint one of his sons. He will be the king over Israel. When Samuel got there, he told Jesse, and they called all the men in the house. The first one came, firstborn, was looking so good. He looked like a king. He had the features of a king. He almost deceived an accurate prophet like Samuel. Samuel was a man who was precise. He was a man who was accurate, but he was almost deceived. As soon as Samuel saw him, he took the horn of oil and wanted to pour on his head. God said, stop it. Samuel, stop, stop, stop. He said, for man looks at the outward. Me, I look at the inward. He is not the man. Others came and passed before him. He asked him again, do you still have a son? He said, hey, there is one. He's in the wilderness, taking care of the few sheep entrusted into his hands. And then they sent him forth. When he came, he was anointed in the midst of his brethren. The first one looks good, but it's not enough for you to be good. You must be faithful in the little that God has committed to you. Not only that, we also saw that David was anointed many times. David did not become the king of Israel in one day. From there, he became the king of Judah, and he was in Hebron. 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 20. You can open up your Bibles and see that. 2 Samuel chapter 5 from verse 4 to 5. It says, David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he reigned 7 years in Hebron. Then they took him again and anointed him. And he became the king over the two kingdoms put together. You can see the graduation. Listen, be faithful in the little that God has committed to you. Some of us, I come across young people. You want to wear a suit of $500, $600. You want to buy a suit of 40,000, 50,000 naira, and your entire salary in a month is less than 60K. Because you want to belong. Because you are attaining to grow, to be where God has not placed you. Listen, it's a lot of stress, you know. Big stress. I pity those people. So you go and buy a suit, collect money here, borrow money here, borrow money here. In your workplace, you do deals. Just to meet up. You want to wear skinnies. I've stopped wearing skinnies now. People say, Pastor has grown fat. No, Pastor has not grown fat. I changed my skinny ways. One day I was doing like this. I never knew it was very skinny. When I did like that, well, don't pastor your preke. I mean, of us understand how, sir. I was trying to enter the jeep with skinny trousers. I don't say how pra. Say, skinny. This fashion self has its own risk and hazard. Let somebody shout a big hallelujah. Be faithful in the little. Hallelujah. This year, tell somebody, say, be faithful. Telling small is good, but don't stay small. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be happy about any assignment that is in your hands, and then God will multiply it in the name of Jesus. Number two test is the test of money. To test your faithfulness, you check the money. Money is a powerful master and controller. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which why some coveted after have heard from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows." The love for money, not money in itself, money is good. It's good for you to have money, not money to have you. Money, if it possesses you, is a bad taskmaster. He will send you an assignment. You will never believe you are the one undertaking the assignment. Send you an assignment, kill your brother, kill your son. That relationship, just don't care about it. Just what is their relationship when it comes to money? Don't mind that guy. He will make you a truth breaker. There are people, before the money comes, everything is sweet. Christian, tongue speaking. This is how we do the deal. We'll give you 50. Yeah, you say, okay, oh, praise God, hallelujah. Hell, it is well. You know, they use Christianese to make the discussion to be sweet. It is well. Oh, thank God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. When money comes, then the story changes. One of our brothers, a deal of about $150,000. As soon as the money came, he said, "We'll pay this money into your account." This was about 2 months ago. Yesterday, 2 months ago. He said, "We'll pay this money into your account." The money came about $100,000. The next morning, he was just calling the brother. The brother was already in the UK. He called him from the UK. Say, I'm sorry. I have to leave. And you have early this morning because my brother has. I lost someone in the UK. So all these stories begin to come up. If you cannot control money, money will control you. You are the one who should be the master of money, not money mastering you. So you send money on error. Many of us are not faithful. And the way we expend our money shows it. Do you give God your tithes? Out of what God has given unto you, do you bring at least your 10% and say, "God, this is just to honor you"? There was a man in the Old Testament. His name was Abraham, the father of faith. The Bible in the New Testament called him Faithful Abraham. His nephew had been taken away by 5 kings. They robbed the entire city and the surrounding cities. And they took his wife, took his nephew. When Abraham heard this, he took 318 men trained in his house and he pursued after his kings. He destroyed the kings, collected victuals, spoils of war, gold, silver, precious vessels. Collected everything and he started coming back. He recovered even his nephew. When he was getting to the city, he met a very strange personality. This man didn't have a father. This man didn't have a mother. Nobody knew his genealogy. Nobody knew his ancestry. He was called the King of Salem. He was a priest. Melchizedek also means the Prince of Peace. He was called the Prince of Peace and the Prince of Righteousness. As soon as Abraham saw him, the Bible said that he gave Abraham communion, wine and bread. This strange person was, theologians who consider him a Christophany. He was a manifestation of Christ in the Old Testament, representing God on earth, a priest. Nobody taught Abraham, but Abraham wanted to honor God from his heart. He took a tenth because he knew that it was God that gave him the victory, and took a tenth and said, God, I give you this to honor you. When he did that, Melchizedek, God, through the mouth of Melchizedek, pronounced some powerful blessings upon his life. Go and read that account. Abraham's life never remained the same because he chose to honor God. Do you honor God? When last have you given your tithe and said, God, this is just, listen very carefully. Sometimes we think it's a favor. It is not a favor. In fact, looking at it from the reverse, you will understand it better. When God gives you 100%, a tithe is 10%, you keep 90%. But look at it this way. The Bible says, a man can receive nothing except he be given it to him by God. So even that paycheck is God who has given it to you. We are not giving God. God is the one saying, I'm giving you 90%. I am keeping 10%. Isn't God so gracious and so merciful? Someone who is giving you something, he said, you take 90%. God is a considerate God. And he says, give me 10% is for me, just to honor me. Are you faithful in your finances? Do you bless people who are fathers in your life? Some of you don't even give up. You don't send money home to your parents. When the Bible says you should honor thy father and thy mother, it's not only just to bow for them, it's to give them. The Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance. You are here wearing tie in Abuja, driving all these flashy cars, and you forgot it. Listen, why wouldn't the year be tough for you? Last week, I was angry with my mom. I met her and told her I'm not happy. Over what? Her drug got finished. And it's my responsibility. It's not a favor, it's a duty. It got finished and she took her money and told my brother and said, go and change this. God has for me. I'm buying this thing. Don't let pastor know. Because every time pastor is doing this, pastor is doing that. Then they came and met me and said, this is what grandma said. I said, grandma said this. I went to her room and said, grandma, I'm not happy. This is my duty. I'm not doing a favor. Nobody can do God a favor. I honor my mom. I said, henceforth, no more hanky panky. You have an unlimited access, whether I preach day or night or evening. I was moved that day again to bless her abundantly. So I don't want to hear any case of something drugs, pastor's house. Listen very carefully. When you honor them, God will also honor you. Some of us do not even honor people who are spiritual fathers over you. The people that God has placed over your life to speak into your life. The Bible says that those who minister the word and even the elders in the church, they should be considered of double honor. Paul says, if we have blessed you with spiritual things, and if you're asking you of your carnal things, what is that? It's no big deal. Honor. And God will bless you in the precious name of Jesus. I see you flying this year in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, I see you taking flight this year in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout a big hallelujah. Let somebody shout a louder hallelujah. The last one before we close. The test of what is others. Luke 16 verse 12. It says, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Can you see that? People are not faithful. Listen. God says that your own is there. Who shall give you that which is your own? If you are faithful in another man's business. Some of us will say we are civil servants. We just go, we don't do work. When they say, can't you do an extra hour? Bros, is it my father's work? Some of you are working in companies that the people had to toil to raise capital, to raise the company to the level where they can employ you. You now come into the company and instead of extending yourself and serving faithfully, you begin to run a parallel company within the company. God is watching. That is not how you get blessed. One of the things that will help you this year to enter into what God has spoken concerning your life is in being faithful. Being faithful in another man's work. You finish your job, they say, please, can you just do just one extra hour, you know, or two extra hours? Or you see something spoiling. You don't have an initiative. You don't care. Well, say, after all, it's not my own. There is no how God can give you your own. Because all those series of platforms, they are tests for God to give you your own. Because God is holding your own. That is why I see some people, they move from one company to the other, from one bank. You go from place to place to place to place. You just move from one place to the other. You never have your own. And when you have your own, through the false means, God will also allow fraudsters to come and work with you. He says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Please, this year, be faithful. and the business of another man's. When the bear came, the lion came, David did not say, oh, this belongs to my father and our household. I am not a hireling. He took responsibility. He fought the lion. He fought the bear over the few sheep. Hey! He took it as his own. Do you know? He would have run away. And then when he got home, you say, Daddy, the bear came, the lion, and they've eaten the sheep. I just managed to escape. His father would have done thanksgiving for him and said, thank God, the lion came, they ate the sheep, but they didn't eat my son. But God was watching. Because what you consider good might not be good in the sight of God. Why? God sees the inside. Everyone working for a master should do it as you are doing it unto the Lord. Be faithful. When I look at God, listen, even in your party, you are in this party, political party, you collect money from this party and go and fund the other party, you collect money from this party and fund. God is watching. God is not mocked. You are a card-carrying member of a party. God watches all these things. Even if your party comes down, God will still lift you up because you are standing for his word. You collect money from this party and go and sponsor the other party. You take information from this party and go and give party. And you're a Christian. If your eyes be single, your entire body will be full of light. This is the principle of God, and it does not change. I pray in the precious name of Jesus that this year you will not come behind in the blessings that God has purposed for you in the name of Jesus. That amen sounds weak and paralyzed. I say, I declare it to you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I conclude by telling you a small story. I love dogs a lot. I even have some at home. I've kept Rottweilers, Doberman, Alsatians. I've had a Great Dane. In fact, two. I've had a Fila Brasileiro. I love dogs a lot. I remember when I was growing up, we had a dog. Dogs are very loyal. This dog was dying. I took the dog to the hospital. The dog was dying. Took it to the hospital and doctors couldn't do anything. He said, sorry, Cornell will die. I remember looking at the dog and I said, Cornell, in the midst of that, he will wag his tail. Still loyal to me. Not like cats. Bring a cat to your house, especially a male cat. Don't give it food. That same day, the cat is gone. But a dog is a loyal animal. I read a story about a dog. The name of that dog is Uchiko. In a place in Japan called Shibuya. Yeah, something like that. This dog was a pet of a professor of agriculture, Professor Uino. In 1924, he got this pet, and this pet stayed with him for a year, just for 12 months. In May 1925, Professor Uino went to the station. You know, he would go with the dog in the morning. At a particular time, get into the train station. And then he goes to work. And then when he's coming back, the dog knew precisely when the master is coming back. That dog will be waiting at that point, at that time. It was very accurate. And then he'll come, himself and his dog, to go back to the house. This was happening for about a year. And then Professor Yuno went and he had cerebral hemorrhage. And he died. They brought him back, but not through his, well, he was dead. He couldn't come through his station. So they brought him back. But one thing was so interesting about this dog. This dog, every day, for 9 years, 9 months, 15 days, was going, waiting for his master that never came. He was loyal to his master. In the course of time, people were the one now giving the dog food. When this dog died, the dog was honored. This was an Akira dog. You know, these Japanese Akira dogs, brownish Akira dog. They don't even look good. Wasn't an expensive dog. It wasn't a high-profile dog or a high-profile pedigree. He was just a normal dog. But the dog was loyal. When the dog died, the government came and named one of the exits of that station Uchiko Gucci. It means the exit or the entrance. It was named. In fact, that entire station was known by the name of a dog. A dog. They honored the dog so much that in the museum of science, of life science, when you go to that district, you will see the dog stuffed as if you were alive. If a dog can be this loyal to a man, how much more you to your God? How much more you to your God? Are you loyal to your wife? Are you faithful to your husbands? Are you faithful to your masters? Are you faithful to your partner? A dog was honored in the history of man, an animal. I pray in the precious name of Jesus that God will take you to heights in Jesus' mighty name. Bow down your heads and pray.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. To download this message, please visit our podcast at The Throne Room on your handheld device or computer. For any inquiries, call 08087-000004 or visit the Life Center at number 20 Colorado Close off Dame Street, Maitama, Abuja. You can also visit our website, www.rccgthroneroom.org. You are highly lifted, highly favored. Thank you.